If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
You don't go big right away. You start off small. You start off baby steps. You grow it slow and consistently.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Dana Wallace is the founder and owner of 420estates.net, a boutique brokerage that specializes in legally compliant cannabis properties in California. She was recognized as one of the most knowledgeable real estate brokers in the cannabis industry and was featured by CNBC's The Profit on a documentary focused on the changing cannabis industry. Dana has helped many sellers and buyers of legally compliant cannabis properties with the purchase and leasing of cannabis real estate. Dana, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure as well. This is going to be a blast. I'm excited to learn more about the cannabis industry and how it particularly relates to real estate. So can you kind of tell us a little bit about where you started in real estate, where you are now, and how you got there?
Absolutely. So I've had my license since 2002, and the majority of my career, I focused on real estate investor acquisitions. So I worked with a lot of investors throughout my career, especially during the foreclosure period. I was working with some of the bigger groups here in the Bay Area and California, doing their buy and hold acquisition. So they'd buy, fix it up, and rent it out. And then when that started to slow, I went into working for a smaller firm, a smaller boutique brokerage that had a pool of investors. And I also found some of my own investors to bring in on their renovation projects. So they were flipping, you know, Victorians and bungalows, things like that. And that was really fun watching the transformation of these older homes into more modern floor plans and all the updates. So that was a lot of fun. When that started to slow again, I realized that I needed to pivot, and I've always kind of been the type of agent that works outside of the box. I do some traditional real estate for family and friends, you know, residential, but I just, that's not my gig. And my focus was to find something that was a niche that would kind of set me apart. So here comes cannabis legalization, which looks like it's going to get voted through in California. I had gotten my broker's license in 2014. And in 2015, I started seeing the reports that, you know, legalization was going to go through. And I just said to myself, why don't you do specific, you know, to cannabis real estate? Let's do cannabis property, start your own brokerage. I told my husband, he thought I was crazy. He said, don't do that. And it just kind of took off from there. So I'm happy that I did it. He is too. And, you know, I didn't grow up with cannabis. I grew up with the stigma that it's a drug. So before I started this brokerage, I would stay up, you know, very late at night learning about this plant. And it just opened my eyes and changed my whole point of view. It's you know, it's not the typical stereotypes that are associated with it in most cases. Yes, people enjoy it recreationally, but it has so many healing and holistic attributes, and the people that grow it are just so in tune with that. So it's been an amazing journey.
Right. So you had your own kind of worldview shift on not just the product, but then you also saw opportunity.
Absolutely. Yes.
What does that look like?
At first, you know, there's a lot of fear behind that. You're stepping into the unknown. You're stepping into something that has that stigma and that has a lot of negative connotations to it. It's been illegal for years unless you were growing under a medical collective. So it was very scary, but I just stopped getting ready to get ready and just took a leap of faith, got a website, named the company, and started to get some recognition from, you know, some different media outlets and publications and things like that. And I actually got a call one day from CNBC, a producer. They asked me to be on a documentary that Marcus Lemonis was making about the Humboldt changing landscape of how the cannabis industry was evolving up there from illegal to legal. And so that gave me a lot of recognition, and the calls started coming in, and buyers and sellers both, you know, were curious, how is this going to work? And it's been a complex, you know, journey, but it, you know, we're still evolving. We're still growing. No one's an expert, but it's been great. Lots of opportunity.
What does your business look like today then?
So my business today is a lot smoother as far as contracts. I think I really struggled at the beginning with contracts because you're doing a lot of owner carry situations. You're not going to get financed by a traditional bank because cannabis is still considered federally illegal. We're moving in the right direction on that. There's starting to become some private banks that are opening up, which makes it much more secure. You don't have these guys having to walk into, you know, pay their taxes with a duffel bag full of cash and an armed guard. So it's been really unfair as far as, yes, cannabis was allowed to go legal, but they're not treated like another business professional could be treated, but they're required to pay their taxes and do what every other business has to do. So the contracts have evolved. And, you know, there's a lot of customization, and I feel like that's much smoother now. At first, I was really winging it. But you do bring in attorneys on both sides. That way, they're checking everything over. There's operating agreements to you know, be put in place. Because when you buy a real estate property, you're buying the real estate, and you're buying a business entity and the licensing for cannabis that goes with it. So you basically have two different transactions going on. And so I needed to kind of get that figured out in the beginning. And so that's a lot smoother now. That was bumpy.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah. There's more moving pieces to that than a normal ordinary business or a real estate transaction. So if somebody, let's say I came to you and I said, hey, Dana, I want to get started in the cannabis real estate space. Where do I start? Do I get on your website and just start reading about it? Or do you say, hey, I'm going to send you properties for sale? Or how does even, and I'm asking lots of questions, so I'm just going to keep going. How does even real estate qualify as, you know, potential? Are there zoning restrictions? I mean, because obviously there, you know, you get off the plane in Denver, you head west on 70, man, and you're driving down 70 and you go, yep, there's a grow house. Yep, there. I mean, right. You can just smell it coming through the front of your car. Yes. So, I mean, walk us through that. How does this real estate even qualify?
Yeah, so that is a terrific question. And the short answer is it's very specific to the municipality that you are going to buy a cannabis property in. So unfortunately, here in California, they did not streamline the process. So whatever county or city decided to move forward with cannabis regulations and ordinances, that's where you can buy cannabis property. Because you can go to certain counties or cities here in California and they don't have a cannabis ordinance because they don't want it.
Right.
So on the municipalities that do want it, yes. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. Nobody really does it the same. So you'll have a property in Lake County that is in the zone where they allow cannabis. And you plug the address in, which makes it super easy, and it pops up and you're like, great, my property falls into that category. In Oakland, you'll find a green zone map. In other places, you will find no map, and you'll have to look up and read through their, you know, 150-page ordinance and figure out, well, what zoning do they allow a cannabis property in? And this can be anything from, you know, not just grows, but you know, it includes cultivation, distribution, which means you can transport the product all over the state, manufacturing, which is when they press the plant for the oils and turn it into, you know, different tinctures and oils and things like that. And then you also have retail, dispensary, or delivery. So it just really is specific to the municipality that you're in. So it's all about finding out what they've decided and what tools they have to help you figure out whether your property is correctly zoned and how you apply.
Right. So it sounds like you really need to have a local industry expert on your team.
You do, but I operate all through California. So I've got Northern California, Central California, Southern California, and it really is specific to me going and looking at. My job is to say, okay, you want to buy this cannabis property, or even an owner is offering the cannabis property for sale. It's my job to do the best that I can to double check that, one, he really is licensed, and two, he's in a correctly zoned property. Right. And then the sellers, you know, because you want to guide your sellers in the right direction. And there have been times in the past where you thought it was zoned right, but the municipality changed the zoning. Now they've moved it to this side of town. So there's a lot of research and due diligence to do with each area you're focused on.
Right. And the more complex this becomes, or the more complex it is for the, you know, stalwart investor, the more opportunity that really presents, I would think. Just if you're willing to put up with the nonsense and actually figure it out, you know, that's typically a roadblock for a lot of investors. And they just go to more lower hanging fruit.
Yes, because you're going to have some patience, and you're going to have to want to take your time to really focus on where that property is in the process. Because sometimes you'll have a property that can be licensed, but nobody's applied for it. So you'll have an investor who says, that's fine, I'll take the 9 months to a year that it's going to take to get it licensed. Or you'll have an investor, you know, an owner that says, I'm sorry, not an owner, but a buyer who says, I want something turnkey. I want to make sure it's licensed. I'd love for, you know, some of the cultivation site to be grown out, or the warehouse to be built out for my manufacturing. Those are even harder to come by because people are still building out as they've gotten licensed, and it takes a lot of money to do the build out.
Right. So you went through several different facility types, and I know nothing of this. So, you know, correct me as I make mistakes, but several different facility types, from growers to, then you said, manufacturers or people that press it out. What are the different types of cannabis real estate that, I mean, what are the different types you're looking at?
Yeah. So you'll have farms. So cannabis cultivation farms. So it's a ranch, it's a farm, and you've got, you know, your cultivation garden built out. You may have a house, you may not. You may have 18 months with that municipality to put a house on the property, or some kind of growers quarters. It may be, you know, connected to power, or it may be off grid and it's operated with a diesel generator or solar. You'll have warehouses where you're going to do cultivation or manufacturing, and you'll have retail. So you'll have storefront properties. You'll have distribution warehouses where they're storing the product in transport to the end user. You'll have delivery sites, which can be a very small square footage, so that you run a cannabis delivery service. You have an app, people order their products, you deliver it to their house, which has done really well this year because of the pandemic.
That's a lot of different types of real estate to keep track of. Back to me as an investor. Let's say I said, man, I want to learn about this space, and I've got a pocket full of money. I want to create passive income, maybe in this case. We'll use this as an example. I want to create passive income via cannabis. And I come to you and I said, where do we start?
That's a great opportunity in this business. So you could focus on buying a warehouse and have it leased out to cannabis tenants. You're not touching the plant. So that's a way to have passive income. Plus your rent is going to have a premium on it because it is cannabis. So, you know, maybe a property is going for 75 cents a square foot. That's just a regular, you know, warehouse business. But if you have cannabis, you're going to actually be paying probably about $1.50, $1.75 a square foot. So there's a huge cannabis premium on there. So that's a great way for an investor to make passive income. The other way is you buy a farm and you hire a grower and you pay him a salary and you bonus him out for each harvest. And that's another way to make passive income. Yeah, you stop by your farm, or maybe you even live there. Maybe there's a nice house on the property, and then your growers have quarters over here because you got 50, 60 acres. You know, there's many ways to make passive income in this industry. And a lot of investors have tiptoed into the industry in that manner. They're like, I don't want to touch the plant, but let's try this out. And it's really worked out well.
On disposition of these assets, you know, if somebody says, hey, this was a grow house, or this was some, you know, whatever it was, as those, you know, warehouses are getting this premium, when they go to sell those assets, are those harder to sell?
No, because now it's been built out. The power upgrade has happened, you know, because it requires a lot of power for the cultivation lights or even the manufacturing equipment. So there's been a ton of improvements that tenant has made to your property. And sometimes the owner wants to pitch in on the tenant improvements. And sometimes they're like, nope, have at it, do it yourself. And, you know, it just depends on that tenant's capability with capital to complete that project. So it massively improves their property. And they could, have those guys maybe fail, and then now they have improvements even more, which is even more attractive for the next guy, the next tenant.
Right.
Or for somebody to buy it from you. You know, now you're going to be able to charge more on the sale because it's more attractive. And they're going to be able to make good rental income on it.
Right. What about any failures? Like you mentioned the word fail, and I don't really like that word, but if a grower or somebody failed, if their business went up, like, is that something you see? Is that a common occurrence in the cannabis industry, or is that rare? What's the, I guess, the expected, I don't know the stats for that. Do you?
Unfortunately, with the cannabis industry, as it has grown, there are people who have the mentality to just go big right away. That can be a huge mistake. You don't go big right away. You start off small. You start off baby steps. You grow it slow and consistently. I'm not an expert, but that's my opinion as I've watched it happen to so many.
Right.
I mean, I've been shocked at the amount of money that's been spent on a project, and it just, the investors get sick of it. They pull out. The guy loses an investor, or he's run out of capital. It's not like you can go to a bank to get more capital. And if you are going to go to somebody, it's private money, and they are going to, it's expensive. So right. It's always about growing slow, steady, and consistent. And, you know, there's been many groups. You can read about them very easily. This is not something that's a secret, that just have short-sighted greed, and they're flashy. They want to throw their money around. You know, they're buying cars and houses with investors' money. And those are not the type of people that you want to do business with. Most of my operators that operate farms and different businesses, they're very level-headed. They're very reasonable. They know the business. As far as growing and everything else, a lot of them are not savvy about this whole legalization and getting a 3-page binder of application, you know, processed through with all the inspections and everything else. And so I love that those guys will have a fighting chance to team up with an investor who does have the savvy business mind. And then they work hand in hand as a team together. It's beautiful when that happens.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Let's jump into the final four here. If you were to distill everything that you know about the cannabis industry, and I wanted to get started in it, what's one piece of advice you would give me right now?
Gain all the knowledge you can about the plant, about what your focus is going to be, whether you want to be a passive investor or whether you want to be hands-on. You know, really gain some knowledge about what the industry looks like and what the plan is about, how it's grown and everything else. And, you know, I just recommend reaching out to people who have that knowledge, whether it's a farmer, an owner of a property themselves, or whether it's a broker like me. You know, I spend a lot of time explaining to my clients the whole process because I'm not going to hide any information because it's so much easier to work when you're transparent and they feel confident that they know that I know what I'm talking about or what they're getting into.
Right, right. What's one thing you're doing right now to stay on top of your game?
Running around like crazy, like a chicken with my head cut off. To stay on top of my game, I've really started to focus, and this is just going to sound so simple, but I've just started to focus on making a list each day because as you get caught up in one scenario or one project, you're forgetting about the three others that, you know, you need to get information over to you or phone calls that need to be made. So just staying as organized as possible when you're really busy is super important. And those lists really help me. And then just picking up the phone and touching base and letting my clients know I haven't forgotten about you, or we're getting this done, or here's a progress or an update report on the marketing for your property. Just all that kind of stuff.
Right. No, that's awesome. Maybe we'll have you on next time and do an organizational podcast, and you can show the rest of us how to get our stuff in line. When it comes to giving back, what's one way that you are making the world a better place?
I feel like I'm really good at giving my clients personal attention. I want to make sure that their money is spent wisely. I treat their money as if it's my own. I'm kind of a bleeding heart. I'm kind of a certified tree hugger. And I, you know, a lot of people are like, it's business, it's contracts, it's the money, let's go. And I'm like, no, I want to make sure that I found them the best. You know, I refer a lot of resources to them. They got to dig a well, they got to do road work, they need compact base rock, they need all of this. And I just I really want to point them in the right direction to the right people as much as I possibly can. So it never ends with the transaction. I stay with them as much as possible. And they've really, it comes back to you because they want you to stay on their project. They'll include you in some way. So it's gone beyond real estate. And that's really my focus.
That's awesome. Dana, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
You can find all my contact information on my website, which is 420estates.net. So 420estates with an S.net. And then I'm also on Instagram. It's 420estates for you, the number for you. I'm also on LinkedIn under Dana Wallace.
Awesome. Dana, thanks so much for coming on today and teaching us all about the cannabis real estate industry. This is fascinating. Look forward to doing this again sometime soon. Certainly appreciate it and have a great day.
Thank you for inviting me. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.